The Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn number 918. Blessed are the poor in spirit, who their native vileness see. They are all taught sin's demerit, gladly own salvation free, and from Sinai to the wounds of Jesus flee. 918.
Thank you. let us read from the Word of God in the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 33, and also read in some verses in Luke, chapter 11. Isaiah, chapter 33. Woe to thee that spoilest, and thou wast not spoiled, and dealest treacherously, and they dealt not treacherously with thee. When thou shalt cease to spoil, thou shalt be spoiled. And when thou shalt make an end to deal treacherously, they shall deal treacherously with thee. O Lord, be gracious unto us. We have waited for thee. Be thou their arm every morning, our salvation also in the time of trouble. At the noise of the tumult, the people fled. At the lifting up of thyself, the nations were scattered. And your spoil shall be gathered like the gathering of the caterpillar, as the running to and fro of locusts shall he run upon them. The Lord is exalted, for he dwelleth on high, and he hath filled Zion with judgment and righteousness. And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times, and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. Behold, their valiant ones shall cry without. The ambassadors of peace shall weep bitterly. The highways lie waste. The wayfaring man ceases. He hath broken the covenant. He hath despised the cities. He regardeth no man. The earth mourneth and languisheth. Lebanon is ashamed and hewn down. Sharon is like a wilderness, and Bashan and Carmel shake off their fruits. Now will I rise, saith the Lord. Now will I be exalted. Now will I lift up myself. Ye shall conceive chaff. Ye shall bring forth stubble. Your breath as fire shall devour you, and the people shall be as the burnings of lime. As thorns cut up shall they be in the fire. Hear ye that are far off what I have done, and ye that are near, acknowledge my might. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness hath surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions, and shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, and stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil, he shall dwell on high. His place of defence shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him. His waters shall be sure. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is far off. Thine heart shall meditate terror. Where is the scribe? Where is the receiver? Where is he that counteth the towers? Thou shalt not see a fierce people, a people of a deeper speech than thou canst perceive. of a stammering tongue, that thou canst not understand. Look upon Zion, the city of our solemnities. Thine eyes shall see Jerusalem, a quiet habitation, a tabernacle that shall not be taken down. Not one of the stakes thereof shall ever be removed, neither shall any of the cords thereof be broken. But there the glorious Lord will be unto us a place of broad waters and streams, wherein shall go no galley with oars, neither shall galleon ship pass thereby. For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our King, he will save us. Thy tacklings are loosed, they could not well strengthen their bars. They could not spread the sail. Then, as the prey of a great spoil divided, the lame take the prey, and the inhabitants shall not say, I am sick. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity. Let us also read a few verses in Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, reading the first 13 verses. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves? For a friend of mine in this journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? If he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? May the Lord bless his holy word to us each. may he help us now in prayer. May he give us prayer. Oh, thou great God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, oh, we trust some of us here can address thee, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Help us, Lord, now, grant to us that we may be under the divine influence of the Holy Spirit of truth. O Lord, as we have just read in thy word, thy wonderful words to thy disciples, if ye being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. And Lord, we do believe it is as the Holy Spirit has already worked in those characters thou hast begun to work in. Lord, they know, we hope we can say we know, our great need to pray, to beg of thee, that the Holy Spirit may lead us into all truth this night, that he may come and take of the things of Jesus and reveal them unto us. We pray for this above everything else, dear Lord, because we're sinners. And oh, how we have begun the service, Lord. Oh, in that first verse of the hymn, how so wonderfully it is set forth that it's sinners that will need to cry to thee for help. Oh, Lord, they are all taught sin's demerit, gladly own salvation free. And knoweth how it is with each one of us here, Lord. Oh, if we are truly made by thy grace, sensible sinners, needy sinners, poor and needy. Oh, Lord, if we are so favoured, Lord, may we be understanding what a great favour it is to be made poor and needy. For, Lord, it's these favoured souls who need the Saviour, and to whom the Saviour, thou dear Son of God, made so precious to. Lord, thou knowest how we would come now thus begging for thy dear name's sake, pleading what thou hast done. Lord, our hopes built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. So, Lord, do come tonight and favour us here. Lord, we confess our many, many sins and shortcomings. Oh, Lord, as we have read that solemn word, the sinners in Zion are afraid. Oh, Lord, how solemnly this is so. We know solemnly that word speaks of the wicked as well as acknowledging the righteous. Lord, thy word is so separating. Oh, we beg, Lord, tonight we may be favoured. May it be given to each one gathered here to be earnestly exercised in real concern to ask important questions. Am I ready to meet God? Am I made a real Christian, washed in the Redeemer's blood? Have I union with the church's living head? Lord, thou knowest we're fast going on across the sea of time. Eternity is before us. And Lord, how important it is to make it to be, make it more and more to be, to each one gathered here. So great, highest in importance in our lives' concerns, to be prepared for that great day. Oh, prepare my soul, my God, prepare my soul for that great day. Oh, if we may be able to say, my God, truly acknowledging, believing thou art our God. Oh my God, prepare my soul for that great day. Wash me in the Saviour's blood. Take my sins away. We know by thy teaching, Lord, there is no other way. No other way of salvation. But every soul must be brought to know solemnly their need of thee. Their need of thy wonderful atonement. The need of all what thou hast done, Lord, thy finished work on earth, and also, Lord, how important too that we may know and be assured of our interest in thy working still in heaven, in that way, in those offices, as the great high priest, the mediator, the intercessor, the day's man. So, Lord, we look to thee now. We look to thee pleading that thou wilt come and favour souls here tonight. Lord, our burden, our exercise is that precious souls may be fed. There may be meat in thy house here tonight. That precious souls may feed. Feed upon the word. Feed upon thyself. Lord, for thou art that eternal word, the eternal word. And so, Lord, do suit thy blessing to each one. Who knoweth we are various ages, Lord, and deportments and natures, Lord, we're all sinners. We're common in that solemn reality. But, Lord, do we know it? Do we feel it? Do we all feel it? Do we all know it? May each examine themselves to consider this. Am I, as each will need to say, am I made a real Christian? But Lord, in and for this concern and consideration, am I a real sinner? Sensible, convicted, convinced. And as I solemnly know what I am, how much this makes me need the Saviour. And Lord, how precious thou dost become to poor wretched sinners who are deep in debt. Oh Lord, so work. Oh bless souls here tonight. Favour them, Lord. Oh, that those favours may be known of pardon and peace through the precious blood of the Lamb. Oh Lord, thou knowest on a favoured time we were favoured to be with some of the friends here, and we began with singing that blessed theme, Lamb of God, we fall before thee. Oh, may it be so tonight. May poor needy sinners fall down at the foot of the Lamb, the foot of the cross. Oh, may we truly be self-renouncing, grace-admiring, made unto salvation wise. So do bless souls, Lord. This is our burden. Nothing more really, Lord. Oh, that thou would bless souls, and in this wonderful way of thy favour, get to thyself all the honour and glory due unto thee. In fact, dear Lord, thou knowest, as we had to plead before coming into the pulpit, Lord, this is our burden, thy glory, thy people's good, thy way of receiving honour and glory, is as thou dost work in and bless thy people. So, Lord, we look for it here, among the dear friends here, thou hast a dear flock here, Lord. Thou hast thy garden here, garden of thy grace. Oh, Lord, do come down into thy garden and eat thy pleasant fruits. May those fruits appear, Lord. May the spices flow out as thou dost come and blow upon thy garden. Oh Lord, by the Spirit's work among them, bless them, Lord. May the sacred fragrance of that wonderful perfume of all what thou hast done, Lord. Fill the house. Oh, we think of that dear one that came with the alabaster box of ointment. And we read in one of the records of her, and she broke the box, and the odour filled the house. Lord, oh, maybe in some ways in the preaching this is so, but oh, especially work in souls, that there may be a day not far hence, when they shall come and break the box of all what thou hast done for them. Oh, and the dear friends to so receive it, and desiring honour and glory to thee, which will be mutual, if such a favour is known. O Lord, to bless the dear friends here, the young people, Lord, we specially remember, those that are going on fast now, the days passing, to the time of their arranged marriage, Lord, as they have made their plans, but we believe it's more than that. We trust there has brought them together. And Lord, do so, be with them, help them, bless them, give them to be exercised for confirming words from God that they are in the way of thy will. Bless them, Lord. Oh, may the union be a blessed union. Oh, even of that wonderful favour heirs together of the grace of life. We look for this, we pray for this. Bless them, Lord, be with them. And one dear friends of the family here, recently married, we pray for those dear friends now in the earlier state of matrimony. Bless them, Lord. Oh, favour them, Lord. And oh, we pray thus for all the young people, those that are in relationships, Lord, we hope, in thy fear. Keep them in thy fear, Lord. Bless them with this, how wonderful it is. We can testify of it, being in the fear of the Lord in such a time of espousal and marriage. And Lord, how wonderful it is where there is that threefold cord that is not quickly broken. Bless souls, Lord. Those that have had great disappointment, Lord, thou knowest their case. Thou knowest how we think of them and remember them, bearing them before thee. Oh, thou knowest all things, dear Lord. And oh, we pray especially where it is their lot and pathway so to be in that way sadness. Lord, do thou make up. Do thou bless them abundantly in their soul. Bless them, Lord, that they may know that highest favour of marriage, to be married to, may they be able to say, I'm married to my Lord the Lamb. No greater favour than this. There's that prospect then of the marriage supper of the Lamb. So, Lord, bless souls, do them good. We pray for the afflicted, Lord, thinking of one and another in various parts. And, oh, we pray that thou would bless and help them, Lord, and be with them, those that have operations needed, Lord, in that way that is needed before them, Lord. My own brother in this respect. And Lord, others we think of friends in affliction. And Lord, those that have recently lost loved ones, we pray for them, Lord, that thy wonderful grace may surround them and uphold them. And the comfort of thy love be their favour to know day by day. So, Lord, hear us for all who we think of at this time. We pray for all thy servants, those that are upon the walls of Zion tonight. We expect there are some. We pray that thy wonderful help and presence may be known and felt, and the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich, And he addeth no sorrow, may this be known. And we pray for our country, Lord, who knoweth we felt greatly saddened hearing names of the New Year's honours list, and we have honoured some solemn, bad, vile characters, Lord. Lord, thou knowest it is a grief to thy people when those in authority take such decisions which are clearly against the teaching of thy word, how thou hast warned in thy word that we should not in any way promote honour towards any that are vile and base. O Lord, thou wilt not approve it. Thou wilt be grieved over it. We believe thou art. And many other things, dear Lord. Oh, thou knowest what is taking place even day by day. And Lord, thy judgments upon us and upon the countries of the world. And that we live in days of terrible terrorism, and oh, so many of thy of Christian people professing thy name are in such danger of their lives. We pray for them, Lord. Oh, thou knowest they are upon our mind much every day. The many that there are, we do not know them, but thou dost know them all. And all we know that if they are thy children, they are surely eternally safe. But what they have to suffer in fearfulness and terribleness of fears, Lord, how much grace they need. Oh, Lord, give that grace. Oh, we believe thou wilt. And enabling some, as thou hast done, Lord, to be faithful unto death, Lord, where they are, commanded to turn to a different religion, else their lives will be taken. And they have died, as it were, martyrs' deaths. But we believe taken straight home to glory, where thou hast blessed them and prepared them, Lord. So, Lord, we remember and pray, Lord, that thou wilt help those who are living in fear of their lives, Lord. Give that grace they need. We believe thou wilt give it, Lord, to thy dear people. We think of those in the record of all those who died in faith and those words that are there recorded of how they came to the end of their lives, ushered into eternity in such solemn ways. Lord, we even know it was so with some of the prophets. Lord, thou knowest. Oh, Lord, these solemn things have taken place. And what is taking place now? May we see these things as solemn signs of the times. Oh, Lord, how much it does speak of what thou thyself didst warn regarding. When ye see these things begin to come to pass, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. O Lord, we know the redemption, the final perseverance and taking home of thy people draweth nigh, and more so as we see the day approaching. But O Lord, the great favour of it, may we live the remaining days to thy praise. But any that are not assured of their standing, Lord, stir them up that they may give diligence. May we each and all give diligence to make our calling and election sure, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. Hear us, dear Lord, now in heaven thy dwelling place. When thou hearest, Lord, forgive. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 277. Now I see whate'er betide, All is well if Christ be mine. He has promised to provide. May he teach me to resign. 277.
The Lord may help me, friends. It's upon my spirit to direct you to the chapter we read in the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 33, and some words in the 16th verse. The 16th verse. It's of a character, a blessed character. He shall dwell on high. His place of defence shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him, His waters shall be sure. Bread, this is the word of my text, friends. Bread shall be given him. His waters shall be sure. The context of this chapter is very solemn, very separated. There is much in it relating to the solemn estate, eternal estate of the wicked. There are here set forth the righteous and the wicked. Those that are by God's grace made righteous, and the wicked which continue in their wickedness. Let us be clear. We are all unrighteous by nature. We're none of us righteous. There is none righteous, no, not one. But by the grace of God, God's people are made righteous, to be named and acknowledged as the righteous. And walking this earth and in this chapel, I'm not the judge of it, but God knows whether it is so. Oh, we're a company of people, but it's a solemn fact. It may be so, God knows. We're a company of people on two sides of the truth, the righteous or the wicked. We need to examine ourselves, friends, whether we be in the faith, whether we be a character whom God has, in his great mercy and according to his eternal love, set upon those characters he has loved before the world. Are we one of those that God has begun to deal with? Or are we still in the state we were born in, as we were all born in sin and shapen in iniquity? See, we have these very solemn words here. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness hath surprised the hypocrites. You know, it will be a terrible surprise at the terrible day of judgment for some who have been living their lives in a profession of religion. If they come to the end of their lives and do not actually possess a real religion, and at the terrible day of judgment have such a solemn surprise when the Lord says to them, I never knew you. Oh, friends, we should give the greatest concern of anything in our lives to this matter. Am I made a real Christian, washed in the Redeemer's blood? For it's those characters who know the wonderful saving grace of God, God beginning to work in them and continuing to work in them, and they thus taught under the blessed teaching of the Spirit of God in the school of Christ. These are the characters who are by God made very well prepared for that great day. I've felt it coming upon me many times when I've been in prayer, to pray in the words of one who wrote, Oh, prepare my soul for that great day. Wash me in the Saviour's blood. Take my sins away. Well, we want to come to consider these characters through the wonders of redeeming love, who are brought to be named by God as righteous, the righteous. Be sure of this, that God, in his eternal purpose, as he had created the world and created man in his own image, and mankind had fallen from that estate of perfection the world was in and man was created in, and sin entered, and death by sin, and ever since from that day, sin has been the cause of all the woe the world has ever known. Friends, oh, we do need to be made by God solemnly to know what sinners we are. There is no other way that God sets forth in his word of God's people being prepared for heaven, but the way that God so much emphasizes so many times in his word. It's exactly like we begun in singing tonight, friends. They are all taught sins in merit, gladly own salvation free, and from Sinai to the wounds of Jesus flee. You can find this wonderful truth, this wonderful experience, all through the scripture, the wonderful ways in which the prophets were given it and set it forth, and as we have it in this chapter. And the great difference between the righteous and the wicked, it is by sovereign grace. And so, friends, to just consider carefully, the sinners in Zion are afraid, fearfulness is surprised, the hypocrites who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire, who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings. I believe there is a fire that God uses that is known, and the heat of it, you know, the fire shall try, God's fire, it shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And he trieth his people. They have to know fiery trials when through the deep waters it causes them to go, and through fiery trials. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and shall purify the sons of Levi. These things are stated in the word of God. But here it is the most solemn. It's that estate of everlasting burnings in hell that the wicked will be cast into. So, friends, what is great in its greatest importance that it is set forth here is the righteous that God makes righteous. And it says, and he that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly. God, beginning with the soul, he makes them to be honest. He makes them to be honest, and he shows them what they are. God so shows those he loves what they are when he begins to work in them. Shows them what sinners they are, convicts them, convinces them of it. They're made in this way to become sensible sinners. And sensible sinners, in the way of the Spirit working in them, are brought to be very needy, poor, needy. They are made to know so much of what they are, viewing and knowing and feeling painfully what sinners they are, and being brought by the teaching of the Spirit to grieve over their sins, to mourn over their sins, and to know that they justly deserve to be punished in hell. You see, oh, they are all taught sins in merit, that they do not merit anything. They do not merit, certainly they do not merit heaven. They do not merit God's favour. They do not merit anything that is for their eternal good or their providential good. We are taught sins demerit. And God doing that, he's blessing them as he does it. Make no mistake about it, friends. Conviction of sin is a wonderful blessing, although it's so painful to know and experience. But it is a most wonderful favour. For when the Lord begins to convict and convince a sinner, there's such a proof, he has a sovereign purpose to save them. The child of God under conviction cannot realise it, cannot take comfort in it. But later on, when they are blessed to know something of being raised to a hope in the mercy of God through our Lord Jesus Christ, Christ has been made very precious to them, then they can look back and bless God for conviction. I believe when the apostle said the law was their schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, I believe he was acknowledging it in praise to God for God's mercy in doing it in him and for him and giving him to be brought to be condemned under the law of God. For it's those characters that are condemned under the law of God that really need the Saviour. So, friends, tonight, it's this character spoken of here. He, this one who is by the grace of God made righteous in exercise and need and relying upon God, upon Christ, relying upon God to save him, looking to the Lord, even from the ends of the earth, how God said, look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. And it's he, this character, he shall dwell on high. His place of defence shall be the munitions of rocks. These are figures, friends. He shall be lifted up, raised up, raised to a hope, not left to be in the dungeon of condemnation, but raised to a hope. He shall dwell on high. Not left to be there in the dungeon of condemnation. I think of dear Jeremiah. He was put in a dungeon, wasn't he? Then lifted up out of it. But then again, Zedekiah, they put him in prison again. But something that was wonderfully stated there, Zedekiah commanded that he should be given his daily bread. Bread must be given him. And it is so with a child of God. Even when you're in the dungeon of condemnation, God does not let his people die in that dungeon. He doesn't let his people expire their life and go into eternity. He keeps them alive. And they have their daily bread. Though they haven't got liberty of the gospel, yet God feeds them, favours them, supplies their need, keeps them alive. He who first made us still keeps us alive. It was so with dear Jeremiah. He must be, it seems Zedekiah had a kind of purpose. He didn't want to see him in the dungeon. He didn't want to see him in the prison, but he would not release him. But he was very concerned he should have his daily bread. But you think of our God. Every figure of man or monarchs on earth are nothing compared to God. God's love, God's mercy, God's goodness to his people. Oh, his bread shall be given him. And his water shall be sure. He shall dwell on high. How is it with you? Has God raised you up in some measure to a hope in his mercy that you're not now in that dungeon of condemnation some of you have known, not now in that hopeless state? One of them said, mine appeared a hopeless state. Such it had been but for grace. But God's wonderful grace. Oh, he gave us the grace of life, quickened us. We were born of the Spirit. Then solemnly God has to bring these quickened souls, these made alive by him, into death. They have to know solemnly death, spiritual death in a way, the experience of it. Not dead now, never dead anymore, made alive. But killed under the law of God. Oh, brought to be in a hopeless state. Brought to know hopelessness. Brought to despair of all hope in anything but Christ, but God and Christ. Oh, brought to despair of all hope in ourselves or anything else. You cannot trust your chapel going. You cannot trust living a good life and thinking that will be enough. It's not. No. Killed to all hope. Killed to all hope in anything but Christ. Yes, but dwelling on high. Raised to a hope. Favoured to be able to begin to believe. Taught by the Spirit, there's hope for the vilest of sinners. There's hope for wretched sinners. And to begin to lay hold of that wonderful favour, believing in Christ, hope in the gospel. God, granting faith. Faith granted you to believe, so that you could begin to believe and trust your God. Look to the Lord in blessed expectation. Yes, he shall dwell on high in this favour, in gospel day, in the favour of light, light that is now given, light upon the sacred page of truth, the favour of knowing the truth savingly, believing in Christ. He shall dwell on high. His place of defence shall be the munitions of rocks. You know, always wonderfully God uses, so often I should say he uses the example of rocks, that which is durable, that which is lasting, that which is a foundation, a sure foundation, a place of defence. I've often had my mind go to those little rock doves. Those little rock doves who do not migrate like the turtle dove. They are rock doves. In the Song of Solomon, the Lord there, the beloved there, speaks to the sparrows. O my dove, that art in the cleft of the rock, in the secret place of the stairs. You know, it's a figure of those rock doves not migrating like many do, like the turtle does. In another way, the voice of the turtle is named, who does migrate and return. The springtime, that wonderful time, and the time of the singing of birds has come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in the land. And when the Lord comes to you like that, when he favours you, when you have his presence, when you have this blessed springtime, like you sometimes, we sometimes sing, you say, Lord, afford a spring to me. Let me feel like what I see. Really, friends, it's having a glimpse of Christ. It's having the favour, feeling something of his blessed presence. It is. He shall dwell on high in his place of defence. And you need a place of defence. You need defence. For the more you are blessed to know and sweetly seek to know and know of the Lord Jesus Christ, the more Satan will attack you. I well remember when I was set at Gospel Liberty, the late J.S. Green, whom the Lord used to bless my soul, in blessing my soul, he said to me, you know, when you know these favours, the conflict begins. When their pardon is signed and their peace is procured from that moment, the conflict begins. I believe it is so, friends. In any measure, from any measure of the favour of God known and felt, the blessing of the Lord known and felt, so sure as you know something of the favour of God blessing your soul, making Christ precious, giving you to know and hope in him, you know the adversary will be after you. You need to find this place of defence. You need to be given it, to know this place of defence, and that it might be a sure place, a hiding place, a real covert from the tempest, from the wind and the tempest, place of defence, the munitions of rocks. And oh, friends, I believe this figurative statement, the munitions of rocks, all what Christ has done, all what he's done in his life and death, his sufferings and death, his glorious resurrection, the munitions of rocks, safety in Christ. Oh, place of defence, his place of defence shall be the munitions of rocks. But this is what is especially upon my spirit, friends. His bread shall be given him, his waters shall be sure. Bread shall be given him, his waters shall be sure. That really was confirming to me that we've just sung how God will provide. He'll provide for his people. He certainly will. I'm a witness of it, friends. Especially, oh, we know he will providentially, but we especially know it spiritually. He will provide by the way and to the end. And provide your greatest need. He'll grant what you need. You're a poor, wretched sinner. And yes, you will be troubled with slavish fear. And you'll have to know that slavish fear is sinful. You know their sins, your unbelief and fears are sins. And all your sins and all the great mountain of sin and guilt, your great favour is, the Lord says to his people, come unto me, all ye that labour and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. When you're weighed down with guilt and feel so much your guilt and your sin before God, oh, you go to this one, his wounded side. Satan, you see, roars when you feel these things and spiritual exercise and God condemns you and you feel by God's gracious dealings with you, you have to solemnly admit and grieve and confess and repent. He grants you repentance of your sins, sorrow and grieving, and an exercise not to sin anymore. You hate sin, you love righteousness. You hate Satan, you love the Lord. Love the Lord with mind and heart, his people and his ways. The Lord is working, you see. And your place of defence is the munitions of rocks. The truths of God. The fundamental doctrines of grace. The munitions of rocks. The word of truth. And all what is in the word of truth. All what God has stated, he is way of salvation. His way of salvation by divine substitution, that God gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Friends, is your place of defence the munitions of rocks, as that which God has taught you, the wonderful truths of the gospel of his grace, of law and gospel. Last Friday, taking a little of dress, I'm not very good at it, but the Lord exercised me at the home. We had the prayer meeting at the home, and felt led to speak on Bethesda, the house of mercy. And you know, it was those poor folk, impotent folk, lying in those porches which are, it's named regarding Bethesda, having five porches. Well, those porches we were led to see and know represent the law. They were bound, they were weighed down with burden and affliction, and so much it as the child of God, under the law of God, under condemnation, under the affliction of sin, sin and guilt weighed down, devils needing to be cast out, and now under conviction of sin, we know so much the depravity of our hearts, and they could not do anything for themselves. But the Lord had purposed that the Son of God, the Lord of life and glory, should be in the will of God, should pass by that, go there. And how he worked. How he worked, especially on that one that's no name. How wonderfully. The way of God, by the Spirit of God, is that God's people, weighted down, burdened with sin, condemned, and cannot in any way do anything for themselves. You see, you think of how it is in the five books of Moses. Five porches. The five books of Moses. All the things of the law of God. The condemnation sinners know, have to know, in the will of God, under the law of God. But then, as Paul said, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. So the wonderful way of God, working in souls, to bless them, to bless them, to favour them, to bring them into the favour. And what is in God's holy mind and purpose, to bring them into the favour of the liberty of the gospel. His bread shall be given him, and his waters shall be sure. God feeding his people, keeping his people alive. But as he keeps them alive, he has a purpose to bless them. He has a purpose to feed them. When he feeds them, gives them the bread of heaven, they're blessed. They're blessed when they partake of the bread of heaven. They're blessed when they have the favour of their thirst, their raging thirst quenched by these wonderful waters. These waters, and it's not just once, they need it continually, they need it more and more, and especially every time they deeply feel their guilt of sin, they need to be going to these waters. Waters for cleansing, waters for nourishment, for the quenching of the raging thirst the child of God knows. Waters from salvation's well. We sung it last night at Ripley. Water from salvation's well. Thirsty sinners come and draw. Grace in Jesus' fullness dwells. More than men and angels know. These are favoured characters. This speaks of a favoured character. Many favoured characters there are. And I hope some of you can say, I hope you all can or will be able to, can acknowledge what a favoured character you are. Because God does these, has done and does do these things in you and for you. Those of you who know the experiences, you can witness it. But have you witnessed it? Are you willing to witness it? Should you witness it? They are questions you must consider, friends. This place of defence shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him. I want to consider this wonderful bread. It's the Son of God. It's everything he is and everything he's done. It's feeding upon him. It's living upon him. It's partaking of him. You say, how can this be? The Pharisees several times were very ready to question is, how can a man give us his flesh to eat? You know, by faith it is. God feeds his people. The way of his feeding them is by faith. He grants them this great favour to believe in Christ, to believe and to receive and to partake of him. His bread shall be given him. They're favoured characters, you see, love with an everlasting love. Those words are the words in Jeremiah. They are true concerning these characters. The Lord says, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. His bread shall be given him. Oh, it shall be. This is the shall of God, the will of God, the purpose of God. His bread shall be given him. Yes, it must be, because it's the will of God, because God set his eternal love upon these characters, and he must nourish them. He must bless them. He must build them up. He must supply them. Sometimes you feel to need to pray, and I do. Grant us such supplies of grace that we may persevere. When we're weak and when we're feeling it so much and feeling much need of strengthening, God strengthening us, there is this that we need. We need to be feeding, partaking of the good things of the gospel, partaking of Christ by faith, feeding upon him, on the word of God. And this will strengthen and build up God's people, will nourish them, and will favour them so that they are then made strong. And faith granted in exercise, faith in the bleeding lamb, faith in all what Christ has done, faith in him too as our advocate and mediator and great high priest. Faith to believe that our Lord is that one living Lord in heaven. The great high priest above, and faith to believe in him, that his touch with the feeling of his people's infirmities. And when Satan is fierce against you and you feel it and feel so much weakened in the battle, then to be favoured to, as you dwell on high in this way, in your favour of your view and understanding of your Lord in heaven, that he's there and he intercedes, he stands between in garments dyed in blood. And oh, he's touched, as I was going to say, with the feeling of his people's infirmities. For he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Oh, that will be food for you. God so speak to you, reveal to you. You have a glimpse of him by faith. It's all by faith. Faith given, faith in exercise, faith to believe, faith to lay hold, faith to feed upon the Paschal Lamb. Yes, his bread shall be given him. It's the will of God. The truth, the sure truth, God states, his bread shall be given him. He must be kept alive. What's the ultimate reason in God's holy will? That it must be so. He has formed these characters for himself. They are his, they are Jehovah's choice. And God will have them for his glory, forever and ever in glory, to sing his praises forever and ever in eternal glory. His bread shall be given him. Certain, absolutely certain and sure in the purposes of God, his bread shall be given him. His waters shall be sure. Now, bread particularly, that's everything as relating to the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, his holy body, broken for sinners, his holy blood shed, all what he has done, all what he's accomplished, and oh, God's people, brought to so need to know him and rely on him and believe in him, and God grant in them the faith that they may verily believe in him and live upon his merits. Oh, they see him at Calvary, there in their place. Have you had a glimpse of him there in your place, suffering on the cross for you? Oh, what sacred bread it is. What sacred favour it is to see one, him, the Son of God, hanging on a tree in agony and blood. Oh, that your favour to believe and know it was for you. Oh, that God, by the Spirit, has such a purpose to save you, that he gave his own dear beloved Son, and he poured his penal wrath that was due for you to endure for all eternity, to suffer for all eternity, he poured it upon his dear beloved Son, and he suffered and bled and died and bore the curse for you. Oh, was ever love like this? And you will be led to feed an experience as brought into this favour, experience the love of Christ. When we feed, truly feed spiritually, we partake of him, and his love fills our soul. Our cup runneth over. Oh, we are amazed. Oh, wonder, the wonders of grace, wonders of redeeming love. So, friends, bread shall be given, and this will be needful again and again. One of the hymns we used to have sung very often in my early days at Stopfold Hope. It was mainly, especially, late dear friend, the godly deacon, Mr. Christian, would so often give it out, and sometimes especially would express it in his prayer. For sin to come, there's pardon too. You see, pardon, love and blood, by God's great favour made and given as food for dying souls. And you know, the wonder of it too is, his bread shall be given him. Yes, those early experiences and those raising to hope in Christ. But as you need it day by day, as you journey on, bread shall be given him. God will not let you famish, friends. He will chasten and he will hide his face because of your sinning, but he will never leave thee. Wonderful word, isn't it? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that thou mayest boldly say, the Lord is my help, and I will not fear what man can do unto me. His waters shall be sure. Very much, friends, the waters in the Word of God are used, and there's the figures of the waters, and so many times it means the Word of God, his waters. And it is, isn't it? It's the Word of God that God gives us to feed upon day by day, and it does never change, it's never corrupted. It's God's holy word, it's preserved, and it's given us to read and to seek and pray and seek in his word for what we need, and to feel the favours as the words applied, as we're favoured to feed upon the word of truth, his waters. See, God has so ordered it that his word shall not pass away. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And so how important it is that you should receive and prove the sureness of these waters, God's waters, God's provision, God's word, everything he states and has given in his word, all of his wonderful love and kindness, the love of God, the love of Christ, rich and free, fixed on his own eternally. You see, shall be sure. Now, you may be tried, you may have been tried, and God will try his people, but for a blessed purpose, to furthermore surely confirm them, to chasten them for their sins and to confirm them in the faith, and to confirm them that what God has done in them and for them is done forever. You may have times when you will not be able to take comfort from a word which was, you will know, was a very wonderful word to you in earlier days. Then you have your changes, you slip, you fall, you backslide, and God, not in wrathful anger, but in loving purpose to correct, he chastens you. And he may hide his face. He may cause you to suffer a solemn, sad desertion that you feel it to be. But he says, his waters shall be sure. They will never, never change. There will never be anything different than what God has done for you. The devil can't rob you of it. He can't corrupt it and change it. The Lord will prove it sure. He'll renew it. His waters shall be sure. I believe I can acknowledge this, preaching this from experience, that what God spoke in early days to me is sure, and he doesn't ever allow Satan to rob me of it, to take it away. But it is clouded over. But you see, it's again and again we need to be coming to these waters of the Word of God and proving them sure. When the Spirit again seals it, renews it and seals it and gives further blessing, added favour according to the will of God, his waters shall be sure. Sure and certain. It's to bring a sinner to sure and certain hope. To know and be assured of their standing. To know the assurance of faith. His waters shall be sure. What God has purposed in eternity. The way, the means, the timing, the appointed time of his favour to each individual soul that he set his eternal love upon. What God has determined in eternity before the world, he will accomplish at that particular time that he has sovereignly appointed it. His waters, the child of God's waters, which are God's waters in favour through his word, and who is blessing them, all in Christ and through Christ, what Christ has done, shall be sure. There's no peradventure of sinking to hell, friends, regarding the child of God. They are eternally loved. I pray, I beg the dear Holy Spirit may seal this to souls here tonight, that you may know this assurance that it will be well while life shall last, and well when called to die. And how will you know it? By God granting you this favour of feeding and partaking, drinking the draughts of heavenly bliss. You know, Joseph Irons wrote of that's in prospect for the child of God. He wrote of it in a way in his hymn, having a glimpse into heaven, sinners, a sinner taken home to glory. And in his terms, his way, he put it, they drink full draughts of heavenly bliss and hallelujah sing. They range through heaven's unmeasured plains, find new course for joy, see more of Jesus, and again loud hallelujahs cry. Well, we shall see him We shall see him. It is here in the word. Thine eyes shall see the King in his beauty, and they shall behold the land that is very far off. It seems very far off now, and yet we're going on fast in our lives. And we must be aware that death is ever nigh. Our lives are on the wing and death is ever nigh. But oh, if God is dealing with us as we have tried, I hope, in some measure and way of favour to bring forth before you, you know that is true for soul. The Spirit speaks it. Thine eyes shall see the King in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is far off, or not so far off. There's a wonderful sure prospect for characters who are blessed to feed upon Christ, to know him, to know their Jesus crucified, which by far excels all things beside. You know, there's eternal glory before them, everlasting joy and peace and felicity, all wrought and brought for them by Christ the Son of God, his sacrifice, sufferings, death, his sufferings, death and merit. Yes, this is it. God's people blessed to believe in him and live upon him. Oh, he gives them all their supplies. He gives them all their needed graces. They're all from him. Oh, all in Jesus. Like I quoted the beginning of the verse in prayer, every grace and every favour comes to us through Jesus' blood. May the Lord and his blessing. Amen.
Willing, Mr. Burgess is expected to preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Pack next Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 1071. Happy soul that free from harms rests within his shepherd's arms, who his quiet shall molest, who shall violate his rest. 1071.
Dear Lord, we bless Thee for that feeling flowing together here tonight. Oh, do so make manifest Thy favour. Oh, may there be those that shall be able to acknowledge it and tell of it. Bless them, Lord. Continue with each. Bless Thy people here, Lord. Oh, continue with us, lead us on in the way. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us. Amen.